I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out over at cheeseheadtv.com. I am Kyle Fellows, and I am here with my co-host, Andrew Mertig. It is another Friday show. We're excited to be here. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's Friday the 13th in 2020. I can't imagine anything bad could happen. But we talked last week about the Packers Thursday night matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. That feels like it happened about a month ago. And we don't have to stay up late to record on Thursday night for this one, but we're back to our normal schedule and routine, and that is previewing the Jacksonville Jaguars today. So I'm really excited to jump into that a little bit.
Yeah, we've got key matchups and X factors again on today's show, and this is an interesting one because by all accounts, it looks like the Packers should be and are heavily favored in this game. They match up really nicely in the areas that they should match up with, on top of the fact that this is just a bad Jacksonville football team to this point. But we don't want to look past that. There's a lot to get into in this game and a lot of intrigue even in layers because of players that happen to be former Jaguars and those kinds of things. So we're excited to get into it. Why don't we start with the offensive side of the things?
Yeah, so my key matchup for the offense is sort of the entire offensive roster against Miles Jack. And like, honestly, Kyle, I don't even like saying his name. Not getting Miles Jack in the 2015 draft still hurts my soul. I mean, you know, that Kenny Clark guy turned out okay. But I was totally in love with Miles Jack, and to watch him slide down the draft board from a potential top five pick and then end up going in the early second round, that was a tough pill to swallow. But we've seen the impact that Eric Kendricks and then Fred Warner were able to have against Green Bay the last 2 weeks. And yes, the Packers should be able to overcome that because they outmatched this team at almost every other position. But getting a blocker on the second level is going to be the key to the running game getting started and really taking over and controlling this game. And Aaron Rodgers needs to be careful with the ball when he throws. And I know he always is. Aaron Rodgers is the safest quarterback in the NFL, but Jack is the kind of player who can totally wreck your over the middle passing game. And we have seen the few times that Aaron Rodgers struggles with turnovers, it tends to be a lurking linebacker. So I love what Corey Linsley can do in the run game and neutralize Jack. It's going to be really important for the Packers tight ends to keep him occupied in the passing game so he can't focus in on Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams coming out of the backfield. One other thing that I really like is the jet sweep motion, because when you can keep those linebackers occupied by making them take a false step, that's going to be really important in opening up some creases in the run game. So I'm hoping we don't hear Miles Jack's name a bunch on Sunday, especially since, as I've mentioned, it physically pains me to hear it. But, you know, one thing to note, Miles Jack is dealing with an ankle injury, so potentially that may. It doesn't look like he's going to miss the game, but potentially that could impact this in the Packers' favor.
I love that you mentioned Miles Jack here, because when we get into games like this with teams like Jacksonville, the temptation is to kind of count the win before it happens. But it's important to talk about the players that if things were to go sideways, they would be probably the impact players. And I think that Miles Jack is a perfect name to mention there because of his skill set. And like you said, he plays that linebacker position that could be a pesky spot for Aaron Rodgers if something were to not go well as far as a tipped pass or getting in a throwing lane or something like that. So definitely a good player to keep an eye on there in the game on Sunday. The Jaguars secondary is a total mess. They took C.J. Henderson in the corner in the first round of this year's draft, and he has struggled like many rookies do, which is totally understandable. Sidney Jones is the other starter for this team, and he's absolutely still the best corner on this team, even with the addition of the first round pick. So I would imagine that Devontae will get to play across from Jones quite a bit on Sunday. But like I said, the other corners on this team behind Henderson and Sidney Jones are a mess. It's real bad. Trey Herndon and DJ Hayden grade at the very bottom of the cornerback position, according to Pro Football Focus in the NFL. So if Lazard is back, that would be great for this offense, and he and MVS might have some really strong opportunities in this game. The safeties for the Jags are interesting as well. Jerod Wilson and Andrew Wingard have actually played relatively well, but it's actually Josh Jones. That's right. Former Packers second-round pick Josh Jones, who has played the most of the Jaguars' safety. And I think Joe Schobert has played more snaps on defense. He's the only player who's played more snaps on defense for Jacksonville than Josh Jones. And I saw a stat that showed Jones was leading Jacksonville in tackles. So, of course, I was like, oh, wow, maybe Jones found his game down there in Jacksonville. Well, Jones is on the field a lot. He's playing a lot, and that means he's making some tackles. But his Pro Football Focus grade is still near the bottom of the league, and his coverage grade is absolutely horrific. He has the third lowest grade in coverage among safeties in the NFL, and PFF says that he's logged 265 snaps in coverage there as well. So there may be some opportunities for the Packers running backs and tight ends to exploit Josh Jones, but I'll be watching this Jacksonville secondary as a whole, because it looks like the table might be set for Aaron Rodgers to put up another impressive game, and in the process continue to build his case for league MVP that he seems to be building right now.
Yeah, I typically watch NFL Red Zone when the Packers aren't on, and one thing that I've noticed is in a lot of the highlights against the Jacksonville defense, Josh Jones gets mentioned quite a bit, and that is not a good thing for a channel that is showing mostly scoring plays. So, it's been a continued rough stretch to Josh Jones' career, but it is good to see he's playing, and hopefully that he turns things around, just maybe not this week.
I have an autographed Josh Jones jersey, so I would be all for his resurrection of his career, but it doesn't look like that's going to be worth a whole lot right now.
Let's not kick it off on Sunday. But so I'm going to transition over to the key matchups on defense, and I chose to highlight the Jaguars wide receivers against the Packers defensive backs. So the Jaguars don't have a ton of talent, and especially they don't have a ton of depth in a lot of areas and a lot of positions, but they definitely do at wide receiver. You have DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, Chris Conley, and Keenan Cole, and they can all play. And we don't know what the health of the Packers cornerbacks is going to be. You know, Kevin King and Jair Alexander are both beat up. And yes, Jake Luton is the quarterback. But if the Packers have to run out Shannon Sullivan, Kadar Holman, Stanford Samuels, etc., the Jaguars wide receivers are going to be a major challenge. And so I think being able to keep them covered is going to be a really big deal come Sunday.
I'm going to keep talking about what you're talking about here. It's interesting that as bad as the Jaguars have been, they really do have some nice pieces on the offensive side of the ball. James Robinson has been a really nice surprise at running back. You mentioned the receivers as a group are pretty good. And I'm sure that the Jags feel pretty optimistic about what this offense can become if they were to add someone like Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. But when Jake Luton is your starting quarterback, there are going to be issues. It's not to rag on Luton. It's just that is kind of the deal that you're working with going into this game on Sunday. But the supporting cast is there for this team. It has talent, like you said, in some places. And the Packers are going to potentially be without maybe one, maybe two starting corners. So the matchup I'm going to be watching here is the Packers pass rush versus the Jaguars offensive tackles. I think it's going to be really important that Green Bay is able to get some pressure on Luton and take the pressure off of those cornerbacks on the back end. Because, as I said, Jacksonville has that talent. But if Green Bay Can make it a long day for Jake Luton with some hurries and QB hits. It's going to be difficult for him to find any kind of rhythm and connect with those weapons. One factor that could help Green Bay in this regard is that the Jaguars' offensive tackles have not been especially good. Cam Robinson, the left tackle, has been average as a pass blocker, but nothing special. But over on the right side, Juwan Taylor, who I really like as a draft prospect, has been a mess in pass protection. So I think there will be a healthy amount of opportunities for the Packers edge rushers to disrupt the Jaguars offensive game plan and really get Luton off his spot pretty early in this game.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Yeah, and you mentioned draft prospects, and I think this is one of the interesting factors about playing a game against an AFC opponent that you don't see very often, right? Like once every 4 years, you end up playing against the Jaguars and you see these guys that you may not get the opportunity to see a bunch because the Jaguars aren't going to be featured on primetime games very frequently. And certainly, they're not going to be the, highlight game on CBS most of the time. So it is interesting. You talk about a guy like Juwan Taylor. He was a draft crush of a lot of Packers Twitter. He fell really far in the draft compared to, people were giving him maybe some top 15 push and he fell, I think, deep into the second round. Or maybe it was early second round, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so it's interesting. You see that maybe the NFL scouts were onto something, that he was going to struggle at least early in his career. And it's funny because pass pro seemed to be one of his strengths coming out as a draft prospect. Of course, like there's times when people whiff, I think Taylor and DK Metcalf were in the same draft class, and those are two examples of guys that people thought really highly of, both fell pretty far, way further than anybody would have expected, and kind of on different career trajectories at this point. So yeah. Some interesting stuff there. I know personally, I'm really interested in seeing this year's Jaguars draft class because besides the Baltimore Ravens, I think the Jaguars had my favorite draft class.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I had CJ Henderson rated a little bit lower, but I figured some team who loved a pure man-to-man coverage corner was just gonna draft him really high. I like the versatility of guys who can play a little bit more in zone and man, but Henderson certainly was the best pure man-to-man guy. You had Kalavon Chase on, who's a really exciting edge rush prospect. I'm trying to remember the rest of it. Oh, Laviska Shenault, who is absolutely one of my favorite guys in this year's class. And he has been a fun weapon. He's somebody who could get the Deebo Samuel treatment, playing some running back, a lot of jet sweep action, a lot of gadgety plays. Ben Bartsch was in this draft class. I'm forgetting some others, but a lot of young players that I'm really interested to see. And this is kind of fascinating thing beyond just the matchup of players that we get to see these guys that we like really liked in the draft. And then we don't hear or talk about them very much because they end up in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because clearly Jacksonville is rebuilding and you kind of wonder how much they want to win this game. And not that they're going to hand it to the Packers, but they are very much on a trajectory for the future. And that includes getting a top pick at quarterback. And it kind of makes you wonder. I honestly haven't watched a lot of the Jaguars. I don't know if they're using Josh Jones near the line of scrimmage, as you may assume that he is. And that may be a reason that he's on the field playing almost kind of that hybrid linebacker role that maybe fits him in those kind of ways. they may not be super motivated to get him off the field, even if he's struggling. You know, they want to see what he is. He's a new player for them. But working out the kinks of their team is maybe not their biggest priority in those kinds of things right now, because they're in a race for that pick. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they're building for the future, and they have all these picks you've mentioned. It seems like they've got some good building blocks, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do on Sunday, because all those pieces coming together isn't necessarily something that maybe they're striving for. And sneaking out a win against a Packers team with Jake Luton at your quarterback, it may not be the best thing that could happen in the middle of this season as you're headed towards someone like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in looking at this game on Sunday, where the next thing that we're going to talk about is X factors, and you and I don't have a particularly good stretch run of things over the last few weeks when we're talking about X factors. But I'm figuring, you know, last week we didn't pick one, and I feel like that totally wiped the slate clean. So reset. I'm going to assume that we're just, you know, we're going to hit it out of the park this week. But I'm going to go with Alan Lazard. Two reasons here. If he plays, I think he's going to be awesome. If he doesn't play, then I get a pass. So there you go. Nice. Technicalities, right?
Nice.
If you know, this is a matchup that could really open itself up to be a great one for Lazard. You talked about the Jaguars cornerback situation, and it's not great. And they're probably going to put Sidney Jones on Devontae a lot. And then whoever the wide receiver two is going to have a lot of advantages in their matchup. And there is some poetry in the fact that the Packers claimed Lazard off of the Jaguars practice squad. So, you know, it is true. You don't know what you've got till it's gone, right? And so give me Alan Lazard for a big game on his return to the field. It's something like 75 yards and a touchdown.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you. And I almost went with someone like Tyler Irvin, because I want that redemption for him as well, in the same way that it would be for Lazard, being that former Jaguar. But I'm going to go a different route, and I'm going to pick Darnell Savage as my X factor this week. And there are a couple of reasons why. First, the Packers are real beat up at corner. We don't know exactly how that's going to shake out right now. And I think the Packers might choose to use Shannon Sullivan on the perimeter in certain situations, especially if King and Jair are not able to go. I think this may allow Savage to play a little bit more nickel in the slot there, which will get him closer to the play. And I think he could thrive there. And even if Savage spends a lot of the game deeper at safety, Jake Luton seems like he's going to be giving the secondary some opportunities to make some plays on the ball, especially if the guys up front can generate pressure, and I think they will. In the last couple weeks, we've seen Savage playing a little bit better. He seems to be playing faster, with a little bit more confidence, and I think this might just be the week that it all clicks for him and he's able to hold on for that big interception. So I'm hoping for a big game from Darnell Savage here.
Yeah, Devon Hamilton, the nose tackle out of Ohio State, was their third-round pick that I really liked a lot, too, and I totally forgot. I looked it up before the show, and I didn't write it down, and I drew a blank. But, yeah, a lot of young players, and, you know, we talk about roster building all the time, right? You know, and if it's the Jaguars, and clearly quarterback is going to be something that you're looking at moving forward. I don't think that anybody believes Gardner Minshew is the answer anymore. Yeah. He had some struggles this year before getting hurt, and I don't think anybody's banking on a sixth-round rookie being that guy. Although a really, really impressive second career pass for Jake Luton on the long touchdown pass last week. But, you know, they're going to – no NFL team, I think, truly tanks. You might set your roster up to fail. And I think, you know, from the Jaguars' perspective, we've seen them jettison a lot of talent over the last 12 months. And that may set them up. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. We're seeing an emerging quarterback. We were just talking to him before the show, Zach Wilson from BYU. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a lot of pub out there about Trey Lance from North Dakota State, who honestly I haven't seen much. And so, I mean, it'll be interesting to me to see if you fall in that, you know, top two or three picks, and you can get that quarterback who you feel like is going to be able to play right away. The Fields or the Lawrence, and you know, maybe you let somebody start out the first few games like the Dolphins did with Fitzpatrick, you know, like the Chargers were attempting to do with Tyrod Taylor. But then there's the developmental guys, right? I think Trey Lance is probably on a very similar trajectory to Jordan Love, where he may get picked in the first round, but nobody thinks he's going to play right away. And so that makes it interesting for a team like the Jaguars too, because, you know, are you going to stick with Minshew for another year? And then go ahead.
I want to ask you something totally crazy. So I want you to finish what you're saying.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
No, what I was going to say is, so, you know, we have these teams out here. There's teams like the Jets, the Jaguars, you know, are going to be quarterback hunting. There's teams that are kind of controversial, like the Giants. You know, are they ready to move on from Daniel Jones already? Basically a year and a half into the experiment. And then there's teams out there like the Bears, right? And so, you know, people are already drawing connections. There's the Zach Wilson thing. And we were joking before the show started. Is it just that he's from BYU and wears a headband and everybody thinks he's Jim McMahon Jr.?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is it really something that's there? And I certainly haven't seen enough of him yet, kind of newly emerging onto the scene to know. There's also some rumors out there that they might be in the quarterback acquisition market, a guy like Sam Darnold. And so that is really interesting to me. That's fascinating. You know, do you take, if you know you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, right? We'll make the assumption he's tied to the Jets. And then let's say Justin Fields is spoken for at, you know, pick two or whatever. Would you rather take a guy with an incredibly high ceiling like a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance, or would you rather trade for somebody that you know has a pretty high floor because they've already done in the NFL, like a Sam Darnold, but maybe that ceiling has sort of been reached already? It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I mean, I've thought about Sam Darnold a lot just recently because it seems like the writing is on the wall. The Jets are going to move on. But I mean, you could talk about Josh Rosen, and I mean, everybody's got different opinions on what could have been for Josh Rosen, different situations and those kinds of things. But Sam Darnold, I mean, of all the ways he could have played in so many different places that would have just given him a little bit more help, you know, like, and weapons around him, those kinds of things. So the crazy question that I was going to pose to you, and I know that this is not a Jaguars podcast and we're months and months away from the draft, but if you're Trevor Lawrence or even Justin Fields, we can say that there's a debate. Would you rather be a Jet or would you rather be a Jaguar? And is it close to you?
That's really fascinating. I think so much of that has to do with who the head coach is, right? I would never want to play for Adam Gase, period. That being said, I also don't have a real fond opinion of Doug Marrone. So I think there's two bad head coaches. The good news here is probably neither one of them is going to be around. Right. And, you know, I don't talk about people getting fired lightly. It's, you know, they're humans and they have families and those are important things, but they just haven't been successful. And that's the nature of, you know, get into that line of work and, you know, if the results don't show up on the field, you're not going to maintain your job. And so, you know, I think a lot of it depends who they would bring in. You know, the reality of the situation is one of the most underrated aspects of professional sports is ownership. right?
Yeah.
You look at teams, it's incredible. You keep saying, well, you know, in the NFL, last place teams go to first place. Sometimes you have teams that like shoot up and win the Super Bowl out of nowhere. But if you really look at it, right, like the Bengals franchise has never won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah.
How is that possible, right? Like right. You would think once every 32 years you should win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It doesn't happen. Why are the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Packers and the 49ers so consistently good? Well, I like to think that it's ownership, right? You know you're going to bring in the right people at GM and head coach. You're going to treat your assistant coaches the way you should, and you're going to create this atmosphere where people feel secure enough that if they do need to rebuild a little bit, right, you have a couple of down years, that you're going to have that system in place consistently. Mm-hmm. And when you look at teams that constantly turn over the head coach, right, or you know, you can look at it two different ways, right? Like they don't give them enough time to succeed, or they bring in the wrong people and they're not going to succeed, so they have to start over. And that just keeps setting you back further and further and further. And, you know, sometimes you just you invest in the wrong people, and so that's tough. I don't know. I'm talking in circles because I don't want to answer your question. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I want to go number one, no matter where that is. Okay. And I'm gonna prove you wrong. I think the better team and the better situation is Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I think they can fix some of they have a pretty strong interior offensive line.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I think they have they're going to have a second first round pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
I believe so.
And so you can hopefully fix a little bit in the offensive tackle. You'll have some money to spend. So, you know, you're going to try to bolster that line. Please don't sign David Bakhtiari. and so, you know, you're going to firm up that offensive line. You have James Robinson. You have some talented wide receivers we talked about. That's a much better situation, in my opinion. The Jets have no wide receivers. Their offensive line, they just spent a ton of money on and is still in shambles. They really haven't fixed it. They hope Michael P. Ryan's going to be good, but they don't really have much of a running game to speak of. Yet they also have an extra first round pick. But I think you're starting from a better place, you know, kind of Jacksonville.
Well, I gave you a really hard question to answer. And
it was like a 5-minute response.
You did not really answer it very clearly. No, but see, I'm with you. I would choose the Jacksonville Jaguars if I had a choice. Just I think that the pieces are there. But it's interesting, and I think Packers fans, all the way back to the Green Bay Packers, if people are still listening to us talk about the Jaguars, we are a spoiled franchise in that we don't know what this is like. Like, I mean, even if there's optimism about Trevor Lawrence, You know that this team is years away from fielding a fully competitive team because the defense is in shambles. The offensive line needs help. It's going to take a while for chemistry to build. You're looking at a new head coach. I mean, obviously the Packers added a new head coach, and by some miracle, I mean, we talk about good franchises, the transition from Mike McCarthy to, you know, Matt LaFleur, and people complain about, you know, that situation, and my goodness, how spoiled are we that happened and we had both of those coaches in Green Bay. But this is a team that is years away, and it's kind of like playing Madden when you start with a horrible team and you have that opportunity to like make something out of nothing. But the pain for a fan in that kind of a franchise is something that Green Bay Packer fans have maybe never known, depending on how old you are. And so we're spoiled, and we have you know, years of success behind us and potentially in front of us, and it's something I think we should never forget.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, because it actually brought my thought back to where I was going. And that was the key to ownership, right? And we know the Packers don't have an owner. And you know, say what you want about the fans owning the team, but the fact is there's a board that's put in place, and they have a ton of resources, right? Like financial resources. They have a wonderful stadium. They know they're going to have a consistent revenue stream, and they just make whatever the best decision is to move forward. And they're going to be consistent with it, right? Like they're not going to say, we lost three games in a row. Let's clean house, like some franchises, you know, and Packers Twitter might disagree with that. But you know, they're not going to fire Mike Pettine midseason. We know that, right? They maybe address that in the offseason and move forward, but this isn't the kind of react, you know. Before Mike McCarthy, they had never fired a coach midseason, and I truly believe they win that Arizona game 2 years ago. He makes it to the end of the year. Sure. And so, you know, this is a franchise that's going to emphasize consistency, and I think that is what helps to breed the success. And, you know, gnash your teeth. Gnash? Is that the right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ganache.
Whatever, Kyle. Ganache. Ganache your teeth. All you want about the Jordan Love pick, but what they're doing is they're preparing themselves to continue to move forward with this franchise. And yeah, there's the possibility Jordan Love doesn't work out. It happens with quarterbacks a lot. But they're going to give Jordan Love every opportunity. They're starting with the best ball of clay you could possibly have, super athletic, super great arm talent, and they're going to give him an opportunity to learn the right way with really great offensive coaches around him. And so I think that's the way, you know, that's the advantage the Packers have over a team like the Jaguars. So, you know, that's why we talk about these things, because the Packers could be in this situation if things weren't managed properly. And so I think, you know, it's a great opportunity not only to like get excited about this weekend's game and some exciting players and hopefully, you know, some guys getting healthy, but I think it's also a good chance to reflect on the fortuitousness of being a Packers fan.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we really went off the rails at the end of today's show, but that is okay. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Pack a Day Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at @Packer_pundit, and you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Remember to also follow at Pack a Day Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what we're doing. You can catch us next week, next Friday, previewing the Packers matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember, go, Pack, go!